Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Good evening and welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable, where you, the creative souls and minds, have the opportunity to call into the radio show and put it on the table, anything that you're thinking about in regards to being in the artist community, industry, thoughts and concerns, give yourself a plug if you've got something going on that you want people to know about. This is where it's all about you, and we can open up the lines and have a great discussion. All the shows thus far have been absolutely amazing with people calling in from all over the world. So I want to play a promo. This is something that I'm very, very proud to be involved in. It is the Dope Emporium, Seattle's Hip Hop Festival, which is taking place on November 13th at Washington Hall. So here is the promo for Dope Emporium 2010.
Dope, meaning fly, banging, fresh, funky, but ultimately the best the culture represents, the pureness of the art form. English is not our mother tongue, and if we want to chop it up every once in a while, that's our privilege. Let's once again become the cultural custodians of this thing we call hip-hop.
She man's on the street, Santonio Bandanas. Check it out, it's going down November 13th over here at Washington Hall, Dope Emporium. That means nothing but the real, all kill, no fillers, you know what I'm saying? Holler that. Tell your people, all ages, free, Washington Hall, November 13th.
Dope Emporium, come build with these historians.
Supply the civil, wanna see us permanently crippled. Government officials blowing the whistle, after the fact, flood the hood with coke and pistols.
At the age of six, I got my first fix. It was 1986 up on some B-boy shit.
Times became a rapid, rap became perfected. Rats they leaving a broken and rapping, the cops that lame neglected.
Not consuming this bright light, luminous. Frequencies are tuning us, melting you into human dust.
I saw you places in the world where the truth lies, and villains be winning and superheroes really do die.
I come through, we do the whole thing. You wanna see me, you better fold kings. Cause I gotta bring music for your soul like rings and black eyed peas. Plus I spit doper than black in an IV.
Washington Hall, November 13th, Dope Emporium, holla back.
Don't miss it, this is Delta 7.
What's happening, y'all?
Signing off live from UPC.
You know how it goes down, November 13th.
Come get it.
It's like this.
Yeah. Raspy.
Now, right, Dope Emporium, November 13th at Washington Hall here in Seattle, Washington, on 14th and Fur. It is going from 4 p.m. to actually midnight. It's an all-age event. It is actually free, and this is bringing together all elements of hip-hop from, of course, great MCs to DJs, B-boy, B-girls, graffiti artists, spoken word artists, you know, producers, anything that has to do with the hip-hop community. And this is also, you know, embracing community and honoring youth this year. Youth is the big, big focus. So just know that the artists that are going to be performing at this particular event, they already know that this is an all-age event, so they need to watch the verbiage. I want to thank everybody who's come out tonight to listen to the show live and to those that are incognito, to those that are in the chat room and on the phone. We've got a caller already, so let me bring this caller in. All right, John D. Green, how are you this evening? John?
Hey, Lady Flavor, what's good?
Oh. I'm good. How are you?
All right, I'm good too then. We're all good.
Okay, okay.
What's the topic?
Let me just say hello to Paradigm and Thinking Caveman, TC, in the chat room, and guests. Anybody who is interested in joining John and I this evening, you are welcome. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. Well, John, is there anything in particular that you want to talk about? I had something I had kind of started with the local artist here on Saturday, but I'll just, you know, I'll put it out there and see if there's something you want to start.
Okay, well, put it out there. Let's see what was percolating on Saturday that I missed.
Okay, so what? So what I had brought up with the people here in the Pacific Northwest is I had gone to a showcase on Thursday. I think, honestly, John, it was very well put together. I think it was very well publicized on the free social networks, you know, and with the artists, you know, getting out there and, you know, getting the word of mouth out themselves. There was a great lineup. The publicity started maybe 2 months back, then pushed hard the last couple months and definitely the last couple days leading up to the event. The doors were to open at 7 p.m. I got there at 8. And, you know, generally when I go to a showcase, I sit in the back. You know, I kind of just, I want to get the vibe of the crowd, you know, just see, you know, everything, the stage, just get the whole feel. And generally I write a review on any showcase or event that I go to. Well, this time I decided to sit at the desk, right at the desk. I felt like it was a desk because I had my notebooks and tape recorders going and everything. But the table that was right in the center of the room, right in the front, you know, in the middle of the stage, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it was, and you know what? Only a handful of people, showed up.
Really?
And it was an album release party. And I was so, I was hurt for the people putting on the event. I was hurt for the artists. And I was thinking, what could have been done differently? What could have excited the Seattle lovers of independent underground artists to come out and support it? If you were to go back and look at the, you know, the people that RSVP'd on the Facebook event and everything, you know, there was a pretty good amount of people that RSVP'd that said they were going to come. Well, I've learned through my own hard knocks that just because somebody RSVP doesn't necessarily mean they're going to show up. But, you know, some people that I know and I know by face and have met in person, you know, I kind of watched to see if they were going to come through the door, and they didn't. And the way that this particular venue is set up, if people weren't sitting right next to each other, it felt very empty because it's kind of long and narrow, and people were separated. Some were sitting up in the bar area. Some were down on the floor area. And I just felt really, really bad, and I'm like, what could have been done differently? And I was wondering, you know, depending on who was, you know, to call in tonight, you know, has, you know, anybody been in a situation where they honestly put a lot of planning into something? You know, it could be a book signing. It could be a book fair. It could be an album release or a showcase or some type of event. And you felt so good and excited. The planning was just, you know, was great. And then the letdown was nobody showed up. Have you ever experienced anything like that, John? Uh-oh, I think I lost John. Well, anyway, he's back. Okay, I'm trying to click. Okay, John, are you back with me?
Yeah, my apologies, Lady Flavor. I seem to have lost you.
That's all right. You just like me talking to myself, huh? That's good. I'm good. I'm getting good at talking to myself.
Okay.
Anyway, did you by chance get to hear what I had said?
Yeah, I heard the gist of it, most of it.
So have you ever experienced, you know, either for yourself or somebody that you know that really honestly did a lot of great planning and then to in the end like have nobody show up or very few?
Not for any artists. I mean a couple of
okay.
You know, private parties and such, but no artists. Fortunately. That would be horrible.
So I just don't know. You know, I don't know what this group of people could have done differently to have excited the Seattle area to come out. I mean, it was a Thursday night, but there was also what was called a sneaker expo, where a bunch of several hip hop artists and hip hop artists that have been publicized in the media much more than anybody else had been, you know, in our area, that performed at the Sneaker Expo. So it was like, okay, well, the people went over to the Sneaker Expo. Well, the people that actually were the headliners of the showcase I went to are R&B singers. And, you know, there was some hip-hop artists there. But it was really a nice, nice variety of artists that performed. They had a great live band that performed with kind of a very, very eclectic sound, singers. And then they did, you know, have a rapper and, you know, a hip-hop, you know, group. And, you know, then the R&B singers came out with the at the end. But, you know, I just kind of wondered what is going to take for the Seattle area to really, really pay attention and support certain groups. There, of course, there are the in crowds and the people that are gaining, you know, the support, but they've been around for a long time. They've established themselves as promoters and putting on events, and so they can pull in a crowd. But there's so much more to Seattle than just those few handful that are very successful at what they're doing. So I don't know. I kind of wanted to open it up to something, you know, to talk about that. But I can also say, you know, that there are, you know, there also is this thing where, at least in the Seattle area, you know, I don't know whether this takes place anywhere else, that there are what I call, you know, just kind of thrown together showcases
right.
that are not well planned out. And so
right.
then you go to them and you're disappointed. And even with those, they're not well attended either. So I don't know whether an event like that has given a bad, you know, rep to anybody else trying to put on an event to keep people from supporting. Or, you know, I've heard of people like putting together book signing events and, you know, really getting the word out and, you know, even advertising in local newspapers and stuff. And then, you know, just a handful of people come through, you know, for the book signing. So I was just, you know, wondering how artists think and feel around that topic to what might be a great way to think outside of the box, you know, to be able to do it differently.
Here's a thought. Let's explore
okay.
this a little deeper. All right, you said there
okay.
were several different artists that performed at this venue. They performed at
mm-hmm.
this album release. Several
yes.
different artists beside the artist that the album release was for.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I guess the focus was supposed to be the artist that the album release was for. But
okay.
there honestly was, you know, there were some other artists that were top-notch quality artists, too.
Okay. Now, you said that this had been promoted 10 months in advance.
No,
I'd say at least
maybe 2 months in advance.
Who promoted this? Was it the main artist? Because I think I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think I know who you're talking about because I noticed your post that you had attended.
Oh, okay.
this.
Right. It
okay.
it was the artist that there was the artist that promoted it, and they had some other promotional people that put it out, you know, to the different
okay.
social networks and stuff, and. You know,
did
it was promoted
any,
off of I'm sorry?
Did any of the other artists that performed that night promote
mm-hmm.
this event?
They did.
They did. Now, did
they
collaborate
they did.
With each other in a larger promotional deal?
I want to say maybe so. And actually, one of the artists that did perform at this event is in the chat room. So, AKA,
okay.
I don't know if you would be willing to call in. And
share. I hope so.
you know, and share with John from Detroit, you know, your thoughts around what he's asking in regards. I know I shouldn't be pushing this event so much, but it's just something I kind of wanted to talk about because
Right, exactly. Several different musicians, artists, whatever, at a venue. And, you know, you get the venue itself to promote it. Okay, that's all good. But you know what hypes crowds? You know what builds excitement? The thought of a collaboration. The thought of something happening spontaneously. So-and-so's going to be there. So-and-so's going to be there. They're both going to be performing. And you know what? They just might do something together.
Right.
Now,
so,
that's not
misleading
because it could happen.
Right. Well, the artist has called in, so let me click on his line and bring him in. All right, Kevin, you're on the air with John D. Green from Detroit.
Good evening.
Yeah, thank you so much, baby, for calling in. So, John, this is Kevin Johnson, and his stage name is AKA. So, John, why don't you ask Kevin, you know, what you were asking me in regards to the promotions of the event.
AKA. All right. Dig some of that. Okay. I'm feeling the name already. All right. Moving along. So tell me that's not clever, right? Because you leave people thinking, AKA what? AKA.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that.
Exactly.
Okay. So I was, that's real clever right there, bro. All right.
Thank
so
you.
I was wondering the promotional aspect of this. I know it was promoted by the main group, the main entity that was performing, right?
Absolutely.
But there were other groups that performed as well. So I was wondering. There were other groups, other acts, other musicians, artists that performed as well that night.
There was myself and JC Flo, Catherine Romano, Shorty, Real, and Thomas Crown. And I forget the other gentleman's name as well, but there were a number of us, and I know me personally. I mean, I was there in a quote unquote hype man capacity for JC Flo, who was the person who was asked to perform mainly at this event. So for me, the promotion of it was, you know, sharing the Facebook event with everybody that I know, and letting people know to come out, and calling people, texting people, letting them know, hey, come out to 88 Keys. We're going to be doing this release party for my good friend Ark, and we're going to get the all that. And I know on my end, that's what I do for everybody, no matter if I'm in the show or I'm not in the show. But as far as everybody coming together, I just caught a little last bit of what you guys were talking about. As far as everybody coming together to cross promote the whole event, I don't think that happened at all, other than the Facebook invite that we send out that we share with everybody else. So,
but you just said
we did. What's that?
You said you did that, though. You actually did what I was implying.
That's what we do as far as to an extent. That was the cross-promotion to an extent. There wasn't, people's street teams getting together and going out and, flyering or anything like that. The cross-promotion came from the Facebook.
Okay. Well, that right there is an idea, then, for a future event. I mean, because
Absolutely. All
of you are well known in the Seattle area and other areas, obviously, that is a perfect promotion opportunity to get together with other artists, get together with the other artists, and do some type of dual promo on Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, Django. Put it out there because people like when people are going to collaborate. People like to think you're going to collaborate. You may never collaborate. But if people think you're going to, they like that because that's the excitement of two people I really like getting together to do something I love.
I'm actually taking that whole idea right there for the show that I have coming up on the 12th, and I'm cross promoting with the actual promoters who are the promoters at the venue that we're using. So we're cross promoting with them because they have a large following on these Friday nights that they put together. And, they're allowing us to come in and allowing us to do what we do on their night. So we're cross-promoting with them, putting them on our flyer, them putting us on their flyer. You know, yeah. They're going out and, you know, saying who we are. You know, I'm taking that whole doing it, and I think you make a great point that for any artists out there, any groups out there, if you're doing a tandem show together with somebody, then you gotta do the cross promotion, because then only then we are going to be successful with it. You can't rely on just one person to do all the promotion themselves.
Right. You know, you want to get out there as much as you can, as many languages, as many countries, just get it out there. Because I wish this was my idea, but to be honest with you, someone did this for me. Someone actually did this for me. They mentioned me during one of their shining moments. And the fallout was amazing. I was blown away by it. And I was like, wow. So I said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's my next plan. I'm gonna put it out there and tell everybody involved, and I'm going to have them mention so-and-so. It got huge fast. So that's a really solid idea, to cross-promote each other, everybody mentioning everybody, you know, because it's respect to the game, you know.
Exactly.
You might do
exactly.
R&B, you might be a rapper, I might be, you know, I'm a piano crooner, but, hey, I got no problem saying, hey, you know what, so-and-so's going to be there. Because you know what, some people might not like me, but they might definitely like you. And they might say, man,
exactly.
You know what, I'm not too big on that John guy, but that AKA, he got it. I'm going to go check him out. But they'll be there. And who knows what they might hear and like later. It's just getting them there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I think, and that's one thing I'll tell you is out here, and Lady Flavor can attest to this, in just a little circle that I keep personally, we all promote each other, you know, like even on stage, you know, we let people know, you know, who's in the house, you know, if they just got off stage or they're about to get on stage, we let them know who it is. You know, we don't leave anybody out because we wouldn't want to be left out ourselves. And the great thing about it is, you know, I have a friend of mine who does hip hop in Portland, and he's trying to help me promote my show next Friday. And he's not even coming to the show, but he's telling people at his shows to come to my show.
That's all.
So, I mean, it's definitely a blessing when everything falls into place.
That is.
Well,
I do think that. You got the right action.
And I think that John made a really good point. And I do think that when, you know, when there is a bill that lists, you know, certain artists on it that are going to be there, I think it should be a understanding up front that those all artists on the bill, you know, should be, you know, putting it out there to their network, asking their network to put it out, well, you know, and so on and so forth, so that, you know, and then if they've got a creative way of doing it, you know, like get with Lady Flavor, she'll put a promo, you know, on her radio show or on her, you know, website or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's ways of doing it, you know, because I was pushing, you know, the event, you know, in my newsletter for 2 months, you know, and pushing it myself, you know, and I just, you know, Kevin, as you know, I felt really bad because I felt like all of you deserved to have a full house, you know, and you know, it just really kind of disappointed me. So, you know, but like I was telling John, you know, there are author friends of mine or just, you know, poetry, spoken word, open mics or, you know, things, you know, events like that are taking place that I think that are, you know, maybe I should back up and say well promoted, that are not successful. And so, you know, I know TC would say to me, you know, because I don't know whether you guys know, my very first hip-hop event took place on April 4th or 5th, April 5th. It was so well planned out in my mind. I mean, every artist that was on the bill, we met every week at my house, you know, for 2 months, 3 months prior to this event. We had conference calls if we couldn't meet in person. Everybody played a different role as far as, you know, what they needed to do to make everything work. And, you know, I put the money down for the venue, and if everything had gone as scheduled, it would have been an absolutely amazing event. I swear that only maybe 30 people showed up.
Wow.
And I lost. So, of course, I lost the money for putting it, you know, putting fronting it for the venue. And, you know, and I thought to myself, what could I have done differently? We went to the point of making video promos, you know, audio promos for my radio show, had all the artists on my radio show twice, you know, talking about the event, you know, and besides actually paying, you know, to be in the newspapers here in Seattle and stuff like that, because I'll be honest, I didn't have the funds to do that, you know, nor did the artist. So, you know, I don't know what I could have done differently, you know, to have made that particular event a success. So, you know, I think that's why when I went to the ARC showcase on Thursday, it hurt me even more because I know the feeling. There's so many artists that put a lot of great planning into what they're doing. You know, whether it be a blog talk show, whether it be, open mic at a cafe in their community, to putting on great, great events. And, you know, I would love to see, you know, everybody coming together to make this work. You know, I really want to find ways to get the fans excited to come out and support. You know, as I spoke about earlier in the event, earlier in the show, there are some, you know, very respected and strong promoters here in Seattle. You know, they've been in the game, you know, for many, many years and have a great following. Well, there's people out there, too, that are doing a great job as beginners. And I think that they deserve, because once upon a time, those big promoters, you know, that are doing some things here in Seattle, they were nobodies 20 years ago, you know, when they first started. But the right people, they created a fan base, they created support and all of that to get behind them to make them who they are now, where they can call shots on certain things. And so, you know, that's why I wave my leopard pom-poms for the underground indie artists, because there's, you know, people such as yourselves that are doing amazing things that deserve to have that attention on you besides the handful of people that are getting it. And so I don't know if there's any other callers that want to call in and, you know, share your thoughts on what we're talking about, or if you've got something else you would like to put on the table. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. So, I don't know.
You know what?
What?
It's funny, we're on this subject, but artists promoting artists is one thing, but you know what, AKA? Check this out, man. There's a whole nother aspect of promotion that's going on right now, and I'm starting to see more and more of it. There's a lot of different aspects of the entertainment field that we intertwine with. And believe me, I'm new to this part, too. There's a lot of things that we do. I mean, you do music, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Are you a rapper?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't mean to be arrogant or anything. You know that, Lady Floyd, but I'm going to be honest. We make the world go around.
Right.
You tell me one movie you've ever seen that didn't have music in it. Tell me
exactly.
A commercial. Tell me. You see
exactly
what I'm saying? So we do this. My sensei called me yesterday. Grandmaster Kevin Big K Taylor called me up. He said, Sensei Green, remember the music you composed for us? I composed the music that he took to America's Got Talent. Called me up and said, can you put me together at music again? So, sure, Sensei, whatever you need. What's going on? Well, the people from Japan really like your music. And my sensei is going to Japan. It's like, they really like your music, man. But we're doing this promo shoot for this television event, and I want to use the music. And, of course, they'll pay, but I want to use your music because you composed our first WSBBA music. So right now, my team, my wife, and I are working on CDs this second, printing up these CDs and making them right now to send to Orlando, which in turn will be sent to Japan on Wednesday because of someone's word of mouth about, you know what I mean, someone supporting. Now, I'm a member of the team, I'm a member of the WSBBA, but I was a composer before I was a member. Right. You see what I'm saying? It's entertainment. We break bricks with our hands, bro. Basically, we're a demo team, a martial arts demonstration team, but we do it to music. I happen to be a musician, so I composed the first piece of music. Skip to a year later, my music's on its way to Japan.
There you go.
Because someone said, hey, you know what? This cat's good. Can you do this for me? Sure, no problem. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's other fields of promoting, of you being promoted and you promoting people because you got that gift. You can spit. Oh, man, I wish I could rap. I can't rap a gift. But if I could, I'll tell you what.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. It's tough, but I completely understand what you're saying. It's all about those different avenues, and I've seen so many good things happen from my good friends lately. I have some four good friends of mine out of Huntington Beach. They used to go by the name of Non-Perilous. They go by the name of My Hero now. They have had their music in Survivor, Big Brother. That one of their songs was featured in Stomp the Yard 2. I mean, they've been doing it for 11 years.
Right.
And they just started getting all this shine, you know, lately. And they book Vegas twice out of the month. They're doing shows in Vegas.
Right.
And, you know, they're doing it big. And they've done everything they've needed to do. They've shot themselves out the way they need to. And, you know, I do honestly believe that's the best way other than us being out here in the streets with our street ourselves, the flyering and you know, and hustling CDs, you know, I mean, that's all we know how to do.
Right.
You know, that's all we know how to do out here. I mean, we take a look at a couple artists in Seattle alone. I mean, even look at Nima. He sold 10,000 copies independently out of his trunk.
Right.
I mean, I think about and I put that up there because you got to think about that. 10,000 copies out of your trunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's like back in the day when Too Short was pumping tapes out of the back of his car in
right.
Oakland in the 90s.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that's exactly what it's like out here for us right now. We're back to doing it that way now. You know, things
but you know
are
what?
I think
it's a good hustle, in my opinion. You know, I hear about it all the time. People on the East Coast, you know, artists that I deal with on the East Coast, that's what they're doing. They're selling, you know, their product out the trunk of their car. You know, my friend Jovan Roseboro, when he first created his book, The Only One Who Can Stop Me Is Me, he first put it in audio form. And he, you know, and he's an ex-drug dealer and everything, and this is a motivational book that he created. And so he was, like, selling them to drug dealers and all kinds of stuff out there in North Carolina down to Atlanta. And then he decided to put the book in print, you know, and then he was able to start selling the book, you know, at universities where he was speaking and churches and, you know, and this and that. So I don't know. I almost think it's a good hustle. It sounds maybe kind of hokey or you know, whatever. But, you know, I think that when people can put a face to the sound, it makes it more personal.
Absolutely.
And I will be honest with you, you know, John and Kevin, I have bought CDs from guys standing outside of Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all it was a CD record, you know, what do you call it, printed or whatever off of their hard drive at home, and they put it in a jewel case, you know, And some of it's been good and others been crap, you know. But I had to respect the hustle. You know, it wasn't like they were out there begging for a dollar, you know. They actually had something to put in your hand that you could go home and listen to. Some of them, if they're smart, they have a CD player with them, you know, that they play the music, you know, as they're trying to sell it, you know, or whatever. But I don't know. I think that it's a beautiful thing that, like with you, John, you know, having this opportunity through your martial arts to have created something for that to then in turn have it taken to another country, you know, where others are going to hear it, you know, just
hopefully
like.
Hopefully enjoy it.
Exactly.
Hopefully they'll enjoy it. It's very high octane. Lady Flavor, I made this song called Destroyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a radio that could capacitate the bass in the song. So we're in Detroit. We're driving. I see these guys by the train station, 18th and Bagley area. They're banging. Sounds loud. So I look around. I say, you know what? I know how I'm going to hear this. So I walk up. What's up, fellas? Hey, what's up, man? I'm like, hey, check this out, man. Pop this in. Like, what's this, dog? I'm like, go ahead, pop it in, man. Dude's like, man, I, man, it's better not be. Just pop it in, man. They pop it in. I'm standing there like I know this is what's happening. You know, this is it. Just pop it in. They pop it in. Everybody bopping. They're like, man, this is tight. This, what is this? So then I get a little nervous because, you know, I'm not supposed to be there. I said, oh, that's me. It's like, man, I know it's your CD, dog. Who is it? I said, that's me. That's me. I just did. I just cut that. The music shut off. Everybody got out their cars. They're like, hold up, dog. What? I'm like, yeah, I just cut that. He's like, straight up? Can I get this? I'm thinking, are you gonna take it? are you gonna take it? And he's like, hey, can I get this? I'm like, yeah, man. I'll hook you up. I get you a copy of that. He's like, all right, straight up. He's like, hey, let me burn this down for you. Let me burn it down right now. I'm thinking, you got something in your car that could burn my CD? In your car? He's like, yeah, I could do this right now. He's like, what's happening here? Hey, $20. Let me burn this. I'm like, damn, really?
Wow.
Said, you know what, man? You keep that. You keep that, bro. Thanks. And he's like, straight up, man. He's like, well, hey, hold on, homie. So then I think, okay, here we go. This is the ass-whooping part of it. I turn back around. I'm like, what's happening, man? He's like, sign it for me, big dog. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what happened. Everybody like, hey, what's happening,
you know,
man?
I mean,
that's what's happening. This is Detroit. I'm 18th and Bagley. I'm in the southwest side. My man was like, hey, hold up. I'm like, uh-oh. Turn back around. He's like, hey, sign this for me, homie. I'm like, yeah, that's what's happening. Then the other cats were like,
that's
hey, man, can we? They've signed my book, my guest book, since then. They've come
wow.
to my site and signed my guest book. You know,
wonderful.
So I was like, that was what was happening. But, yeah, it's funny how you get out there to get your hustle on. We do things you wouldn't normally do to be heard. It's surprising the things you'll do
to be heard. But look at that. Look at your story right there, John. And look at the style of music that you created and the people that you stopped to have listened to it. And they loved it. You know?
And it's surprising.
And you may have never thought that somebody like that would like to listen to your music.
Yeah, but you know, then
you know,
I would never have thought someone like me would make the kind of music I make. You know, but that's
really?
Again, that's
really?
Part of the, yeah. If you to look at me, you wouldn't really think that,
right?
You know,
right.
Like I tell people all the time, you know, our perceptions differ. Sometimes there's a lot more to people than you see. So I don't judge no book. You know, I don't judge that book till I read it, because you know, looks can be deceiving.
You know, it's funny because I mean, y'all know how I look, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little
short, stout.
You know, I'm a little short, stout Japanese German girl with you know silver hair, 50 years old, right? So back in April, I guess it was maybe April. I'm trying to think. When I went to Black Stack's album release party for Talking Bill, you know, I'm sitting up in the loft, you know, in my, you know, because I like to just be up high so I can see everything. And I'm sitting up in the loft, and this guy comes up to me, and he's like, "What's an old white lady doing at a hip hop show?" You like hip hop? I'm like, oh my god, no, I just wandered in from the street.
Well, I have a drink. Yeah,
I wanted. Yeah.
Should have looked at him and been like, I don't speak no English, homie. Sorry.
I hope I run into him someday. I hope I see him at Dope Emporium, you know?
Yeah.
That story's going to live with me forever. I'm like, what's
like, he'll probably look at you and be like, you wander around a lot, don't you? That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny that you just assume that, you know, you're not, what are you doing
here? What are you doing here? You know, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, looks can be deceiving, you know. You may not really know what somebody's into and what they like just because of how they, you know, they look and stuff. Like Kevin, you know, a.k.a., he likes girls with tattoos, you know.
Hey, now.
I have to throw that out there, Kevin.
Realize that's not going to be my hit single. I decided that.
It is. It is, because Kevin, I think everybody's told you that's what you're going to go down being known for.
What, the guy that likes girls with tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, John, if you heard the song.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to hear it. I'm going to go to your site. Well, that's usually what I do. I'll be honest with you, bro. I got your name. As soon as I'm done here, I'll be looking you up, just so you know. It's what I do.
Look it up on Reverb Nation if you do it.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's good, because I just got connected to the Reverb Nation, so I can actually do that.
Oh, yeah?
What's your John D. Green Sr., bro. It's all ran together, one name. I'm always the same. I don't got no cool name. I told you, man, I need you to help me. I got to come up with something clever, you know, like, well, no, just John D. Green Sr.
You could call yourself Sensei.
You know what, because there's already a sensei, and I'm only a second degree, so I don't even rest the sensei yet. I got a few more years of heavy training before I assume that role full time.
Kevin, I'll have to send you a video of John breaking bricks. It's a trip.
What are you doing with those videos, Lady Flavor? Those videos are something.
I'll
tell you what.
I can't find it.
John D. Green Sr. You can't find that on Reverb Nation. Run it all together. John D.
Just
Green Sr.
J-O-H-N?
Yup.
As he's looking up John on Reverb Nation. If there's anybody else out there that's listening to the show live and would like to join in on the conversation tonight, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. I think I'm kind of done with my particular topic. You know, it's something that I'm, you know, thinking about and working on. And actually, I'll be honest with you, I have some plans. Maybe before the year is out, if not after the first of the year, I'm going to try. We'll see if they'll agree to meet with me to connect with some of the main people in the media that handles the reviews of events in the Seattle area, and just ask them why only certain artists get written up, because I really, really would like to know. You know, I'd like him to tell me, you know, whether, you know, they think that the artists aren't good enough, or, you know, I mean, you know, there are people out there that say that these certain media people have sold themselves to the devil, and, you know, it's a political thing as to why these particular artists that they write about month after month, year after year are the ones. But I just think, I'd like to open up dialogue if they'll let me. So that's one of my plans. Now, John, back there in Detroit, I'm assuming you guys have, you know, writers in the different papers out there that write on music or events or artists, correct?
Yeah, we do. I mean, to some extent, yeah, we do. We have a few papers that seem really dedicated to that sort of thing. They're smaller papers,
okay.
Smaller publications like Metro Times and just, you know, smaller papers. Every now and then you get an event in a big paper, but usually it's the smaller papers that cater to that sort of thing. Metro Times being one because there's always indie artists, underground artists in Metro
mm-hmm.
Times. So, yeah, we do have some.
Okay. So what do you think is the importance, or maybe you don't think that they're important as far as your own community, you know, getting to know somebody like you if you're out and about and performing?
It's you know, again, that's one of those tricky areas because here, just like everywhere else, it's the who you know and who knows you. And I hate to say this, but, you know, I'm saying how it is. It's sort of the clique thing here. It's just like pretty much anywhere else. It's that in crowd, you know, the who you know that knows you, that gets you shined upon, so to speak. It's really hard to break into the industry here on your own, doing it the right way. You know, being judged by your lyrical content, the quality of your music. Are you a composer, a songwriter? It's hard to get heard here by the right ears based
mm-hmm.
on just your skill alone.
Okay.
Because, you know, you could be great, and I could be a bum, but if I know so-and-so who could say, hey, this is my main man right here, I want you to, you know, show him some love or something, then it's a done deal, regardless to if I'm quality or not.
Right.
And it's that way here. I know that for a fact because I'm here. I don't know how it is in other places, but here is very hard to get heard by the right people that can make a difference. And when you do get heard, sometimes even if you are heard by the right people, it depends who they already have online, if they'll
mm-hmm.
give you the time of day.
Okay.
You know, it's a strange process here to get heard. It seems particularly hard, but I hear from other artists in different places that it's very hard to get really heard everywhere because
okay.
there's an in crowd and then there's the rest of them. And then you're an indie artist, you know, you're not looking for the major label or this and that, so that's even more so difficult because people consider that we're harder to work with. You know, we're indie, we're used to controlling all of our music. We write, we compose, we're songwriters, we're lyricists, we do it all, so we're used to controlling it, so we're harder to work with, which isn't true at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just as easy to work with as anyone else. It's just, I think a lot of times, if you are the person behind the sound and in front of the sound, you get that label.
Mm-hmm.
So here, it's definitely that who you know that kind of helps make you or break you.
Okay.
And it's funny, it's hard to
so,
get heard, but it's really easy to get shut down here. It's easy to get shut down here.
That's funny that you just said that. I do want to ask you something, though, John, but I'm going to bring it in. TC, are you on the line?
Yeah. How y'all doing? Let me take your speaker. I'm sorry I sound so drowsy. It's just been a real rough weekend recording for me.
How's that going?
Oh, I hate the producer. I love the artist. I love the writer. I just hate the producer.
Yeah. See, he's one of those guys, see?
All right. I'm the writer, the editor, the producer, the publisher, but I hate the producer.
You know, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I got one of my kids at the door, so go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
Those creative differences.
Yeah. Something I wanted to say to you, man. Detroit has a legacy of local artists, which has moved on to L.A., which is a very true statement.
Good thing I was here, huh?
Also, Detroit has a long history of having that local edge to it. And, I mean, when I come to Detroit, man, I go to 8 Mile in Illinois.
Right.
there's a jazz club up there, man. I just love, man.
Baker's.
Huh?
Baker's?
Yeah, Baker's, man. I love Baker's, man.
Okay.
I love walking into Baker's, man. As small as a cracker box. You can't fit six people in there comfortably, but it's
yeah.
always great live music, man. I think that's the most intimate setting I've been to with the best level of live music I've heard, man. I mean, I've seen a full eight-piece brass, piano, upright bass on stage with a lounge singer in Baker's, and it's just an incredible thing.
Yeah,
here,
nice.
Here, one of the things that we run into, and it goes back to a real old heritage as well. I mean, when you look at Ray Charles, went from the South, came here, and became very popular. This is where Ray Charles got into the minds of white America. He's in Seattle, Washington at a club called Parker's. And he can play Parker's anytime. As a matter of fact, he played Parker's up until before the year before he passed away. It's just one of those things. But every local artist has to leave here to become very popular.
Right.
I mean, you look at Hendrix. You look at, in the 90s, Nirvana. They had to go to L.A. to hit it big. They had to push the hair bands out of the way. But I remember seeing Nirvana in a barn and thinking to myself, God, they make a lot of noise. Next thing I know, they were superseding Alice in Chains. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. And it's like someone mentioned Nima selling 10,000 records out of his trunk. Yes. Yeah, I know you have one. My son's talking to me saying, I have one. Nima used to be my neighbor. It took him forever to realize who I was.
Wow.
And I'm steadily dealing with him, and he doesn't even know who I am. So it's just one of those things, man. Sometimes you put the blinders on, and you don't see the great advantages that you have in a local community. As far as the failure of a release party happening, man, I got no answers and no criticisms there. I wasn't at the event. And I think that those guys got shortchanged. I mean, I've had events where I put on the event, man. I had 20 people show up to a 400-space place. And I was just, like, so devastated. But we had a good time because I paid for the party. So I knew I was going to have a good time. And that's kind of the way that I approach it. If I paid the bill, it better be good. I don't care if you and the wall show up. It better be good. I paid the bill. One thing for me, I'm very, very close to getting my podcast together. And matter of fact, I got to do some editing tonight so I can give you guys a preview on time like I promised to. But I'm doing rewrites. Simplifying the text. Man, I want you guys to really get into it. Because my actor makes my story come alive. And I'm so pleased by that. Matter of fact, I'll put it in the chat room where you guys can go and get the preview for the music right now. And then later you can come back in a few days and get a preview of the story. So I think you guys are actually going to enjoy it. Because with my actor, man, I'm so pleased. And Lady Flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I got Six to be my actor.
Ah, what a great voice.
I went through a lot of people. Yeah, I went through a lot of people, man. You know, I looked at Hugo Award winners. I looked at stage actors. I looked at a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a great voice. I have a producer friend that's working with him. That's from the East Coast, and he's actually been out here with Six Deep and stuff. And so that's very exciting. That's great news, TC, that you've got him to come on board with you. So just to excuse me, you guys, I am working this week. I normally don't work during the week, but I've agreed to come in to work from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. And so one of my kids had just come to the office, so I apologize for that. But I want to ask a question right quick. I want to ask a question, John, right quick. Because are... Yeah, no. No, this is a good one. And maybe sometime we can get him to come on to the show with you, because I'd love to hear the dialogue the two of you have. But, you know, what do you think the success has been for Brian O'Neill coming out of Detroit?
Wow. Wow. Where do I start? Okay, I can give it to you how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for, through my own eyes, from
okay.
seeing it from experience, the success is good and got better.
Mm-hmm.
For him, I see a person that takes in all of this love and gratitude from these gigantic shows, and then I watch this same person who's bigger than life on stage sit back after the shows with his hands clasped together and a little smile on his face and complete silence. And I've asked him several times, B, what you doing? And he'll look at me and say, I'm taking it all in.
Hmm.
And for a long time, you know, for me, I'm new. I'm still hot rod. Let's do it. Let's jam, man. Let's... It's like I'm soaking up every minute of the love. It's like, take it all in, man. He's like, this will be you. Take it all in. And I, you know, until recently, I kind of understood the concept behind that. But, you know, yeah, okay, take it all in. Okay, let's jam. Now I truly understand what he meant. After Kobo, I understood what it means to take in fans' love. And that for him, in my opinion, a lot of it is for that. It's for the love because they show him a tremendous amount of love. We stood in the rain in Kentucky. In the rain, he's in an all-white suit, so he could sign CDs and autographs, and you know, people in Kentucky, the fans of, man, you know what? Mad love to Kentucky. Anybody out there from Kentucky listening? So much love for Kentucky. The fans of Kentucky are amazing. All right, they are a whole different kind of fan there. But we stood in the rain to sign autographs and CDs and hug people. Yes. Hug people and take pictures. This brother stood in the rain in an all-white suit for as long as there were people to sign for. There were over 7,500 people there. We were in the rain for quite a while.
So do you think that, I mean, I know the one thing that I love about Brian O'Neill is he'll put it out there. He does not claim that where he's at right now is easy. He still claims the struggle. He's very, very honest at putting it out there what an independent artist needs to succeed. You know, he'll put it out there, the financial struggles of an independent artist. And I love that about him because, you know, I've watched Brian for many years, you know, as a jazz artist, you know, and hearing the stories of him playing behind Kim and this and that. You know, and his appreciation and love for his family to then now creating his Do Foundation, you know, to help serve and change the status quo of the homeless, you know, not only in Detroit, but around the world. You know, but I would imagine at some point, you know, I mean, he was a nobody, you know, probably out there playing his piano, you know, whatever, and... you know, I wonder what was the turnaround for him where, okay. You know, I've seen his interviews on TV, you know, I've heard his interviews on radio and stuff, but I wonder what the turning point was for him where things started getting better.
That's the funny thing. I would assume things are better. But you never mm-hmm. really can tell. I'm not saying that he walks around like he's in poverty or, you know, but he's always still on the, I mean, you know, to use a phrase that's probably been used, but he's still on the grind as far as the music goes. He's always doing, he's working, composing, doing. So it's still, you still get the, I'm still very hungry feeling when you're around him and with him and working with him. I mean, he's really consummate professional, very, very serious when it comes to recording or composing or writing, and he still has that. So you can't really tell what level of success he's at because he doesn't wear it. In other words, you know, you can't look at him and see, oh yeah, I made it, I'm here. And you don't see it. He's very normal. Actually, a really funny guy, believe it or not. But he doesn't wear it. But you know, start talking music or something, then he's right there. Well, other than that, he doesn't, you know, mention it or flaunt anything. It's you can still see the hunger. So I wonder that myself sometimes, and I spend, you know, quite a bit of time with him. But
yes, I know.
You don't really know. You know what I mean? With him, it's always about, you know, the foundation and the music and family. He's very family oriented, very, very, very close to his family. So you never really know. And I respect that about him because you don't know. And to him, with people like me and others, we're just musicians doing what we do. You know, he never puts that air of, I'm so much better than you are. You know, he never, you don't see that on him. And that's a very comfortable
thing. And I, you know what, and I appreciate you saying that about Brian because I get that feeling too. You know, that you would never feel like, you know, get that feeling from him like, oh, I'm better than you. I've made it or, you know, whatever. I think that he's a very humble person and loving and a great man. And there's a lot, you know, I could compare the two of you. You're very different, you know, I can tell in personalities, but I think there's some great similarities. And I think maybe that could be part of the draw, you know, that the two of you have for each other, you know, around the music. But, you know, both of you are very family oriented and you know, disciplined in different ways and all of that. So, you know, I have a great, you know, love and respect for both of you as men and as artists, you know, but I just, you know, I have watched, you know, I've watched Brian for years, like I said, and he is very humbling and he warms my heart, you know, that he has such a passion for the homeless and stuff. And I, as I tell artists all the time, I think that, you know, everybody, you know, who is a creative soul, you know, can reach out and make a difference in one way or another, you know, for people, you know, in general, not just, you know, trying to get them to be a fan and love your music or whatever it is you're creating, spoken word, literature, you know, film, you know, whatever it is that you're creating, but you can create something that actually can, you know, maybe turn somebody's life around. And I hope you don't mind this, John, but I hope it's okay. I want to play the piece that you created for my project. If that's okay. Is that all right?
No, I didn't see that coming. You surprised me tonight. That's fine. That piece was made for you and the Unleash Your Brain. Yeah, damn. I'm all for it, 100%. If that's what you want to do.
For those of you that don't know, I have joined hands with a youth organization out here in the Pacific Northwest, which is called Unleash the Brilliance. And this was my idea of trying to come up with a creative way of getting many of you creative souls out there to join hands with us too in creating pieces that can acknowledge, you know, the struggles that our youth are going through, but also put in it, you know, something that helps uplift them and give them hope. We are dealing with youth that are, you know, in trouble with the court systems because of skipping school. We're going to be dealing with youth in a project next summer that are in trouble with the courts with gang-related and violent issues and stuff. And so I had reached out, and I'm continuing to reach out to artists to either create a written piece. It can be a poem, it could be a letter, it could be lyrics, it could be a short story that could go into a chapbook, a book, just depending on how many pieces I'm able to put together for this project, that can be sold and also given to youth, not only here in the Pacific Northwest, but across the globe. I've been very, very blessed to have some artists in London reach out and also get involved in this project. But John D. Green out of Detroit, Michigan, was a dear heart with his family and created this piece. And I have to tell you, when his wife sent it to me, I cried. I cried so hard for feeling so very, very blessed. And this is John D. Green's piece for my Unleash the Brilliance project, and it's called Believe.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your own power. Believe that you can achieve. Believe your dreams will come true. Believe in your own self-worth. Believe that hope will guide you. Believe that a smile is worth a thousand words. Believe that you can do anything you set your mind to.
Hey, young world, let me apologize for all the pain, all the hurt, all the lies that they have told you. 'Cause I know deep inside there's a brilliance that you no longer have to hide. It's time to let your light shine.
Worth a thousand words. Believe that you can do anything you set your mind to.
But first you must believe.
John D. Green out of Detroit, Michigan. John, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And I know I can speak on behalf of Terrell Dorsey also for, you know, you and your family creating this amazing piece to go into our youth project here out of the Pacific Northwest. Again, it's not just going to be reaching youth here in our area. It's going to be reaching youth across the globe. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for, you know, doing this piece for us.
It was an honor, Lady Flavor. I enjoyed the piece. Hell, I believe. I just listened to it again for the first time. I believe. It was an honor. You know, the WSBVA, you know, we advocate against domestic violence to women and children. I mean, you know, you got Brian O'Neill and the Dew Foundation, the eradication of homelessness. I hate to harp on that, but that's our obligation. We have forums. We have voices that people will listen to, and they'll listen to anything we say. Why not say something worthwhile? Even more so, and I hate to coin his phrase, but why not do something? We have the power to do. What we do, people follow. We set trends. We are the people that the youth look up to for guidance, unfortunately.
Right.
But it's a fact. So why not guide them righteously? Our youth will lead us one day.
Exactly.
Why not
that's
set
what
their
I tried.
Right example?
Exactly. You know, I say that all the time. Our youth is our future. You know, and we need to nurture them right now and today, you know, and through the art. I think it's very influential, especially when it comes to young people, because as you very well know, they may not do well in school, right, but they can memorize a song, huh?
That was me.
You know.
That was me.
You know,
did
so
you
that if we, you know, so if we can turn this around and we can create some tracks and some poetry and some, you know, literature and visual art, that's something positive that they can see, and still it's cool, it's still catchy and catches their attention, and you know, how these subliminal messages are, you know, in reaching into people's hearts and souls. You as artists can do that for our young people, you know, and I think that particular piece, John, speaks volumes of, you know, of what, you know, a young person may feel to, you know, feeling hopeful and believing in themselves that they can achieve, you know. And so it's, again, I really, really appreciate you stepping up, you know, for that particular project and participating, you know, in your piece. And so let's read. John, Thinking Caveman TC, he fell back into the chat room, and so did AKA. So you and I are the only ones on the line right now, but TC wrote, John, I'm listening to the structure of the composition. You're a very good composer. Your keyboard writing is phenomenal. Ever consider writing a full concerto over time? Put on your list of things to do.
Tell him the beginning of A Lost in Darkness is a 2-year compositional. I had been working on it for 2 years. I used the opening part of Lost in Darkness to feature my pianist skills. So that's why Lost in Darkness has 2 minutes and 14 seconds of just intro piano concerto. Because that was my own composition that I had been writing, and I wanted to showcase that because people were, you know, saying, do you really play? Is that you playing? So I wanted to do something where I could actually sit down with people live before the actual song, and they could see and hear me play just the piano, where they could say, oh, this guy does play. So that from the opening 2 minutes of Lost in Darkness is all part of a longer, much longer, much, much longer, 7 minutes and 13 seconds composition.
Okay.
So, yeah. I have thought about it.
All right.
I'm working on another one, so thank you. Yes.
All right. So now, John, you're going to have a CD available here in the near future, correct?
Very soon here. Very soon. I just left the studio last week, and we're working on it right now.
So can you give us a hint when your project may be complete?
I'm believing by the end of next month. So it should be all set and ready for the holiday season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I ask you another question? What's your plan of action in promoting it?
I'm going to hit everything with the written word. My thing is I will plaster all of the media sites, you know, Django, SonicBiz, MySpace, YouTube, Facebook. There's a very nice new site that just came. It just started on. It's a Facebook app. It's All Media Artists. Are you familiar with that one? Hello?
Sorry about that. Okay.
Oh, that's
say it
okay.
Again.
Yeah.
What's the new site called, John?
Artists. It's called All Media Artists.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely one to check out. It's very nice, very well put together, very professional. It's you know, spoken word artists, musicians, singers, songwriters. It's a pretty amazing site, and I'll definitely be utilizing that as a tool.
Okay.
And every site. There will be a lot of problems. Say again?
I saw you. I believe it was you, or maybe it was... No, maybe it was Brian O'Neill. I don't know who I saw post that site. And I have to admit, I reposted it, right? But I never even went to check it out.
Well,
so is it a site for somebody like me?
Oh, yeah, it would be. Definitely someone like you for what you do and what you can contribute and what can be contributed to you for the cause. Absolutely. It's an amazing site. I wrote the founder, the creator of the site, and thanked her for it because it's an amazing site for artists. Amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's definitely something to check out.
I've written it down, so hopefully I'll remember to go to my notes. Okay. Okay.
All Media Artists, yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh.
And there will be a lot of cross-promotional.
Are you going to be doing an album release party out there in Detroit?
You know what? I'm not sure yet, but it's looking that way. It's looking like this is going to be a CD release party, and like this is going to be a pretty big deal.
Well, you know what? You know what I think that you should consider.
What should I consider? Coming to Seattle and doing a CD release in Seattle.
You know what, John? Trust me. Whenever Flavor News gets the funding. You are, like, on the top of my list to bring out here to Seattle. So we definitely would love to have that take place. But, okay, something a little bit simpler than you actually flying to Seattle and allowing me to put on a showcase for you.
Right.
You should consider doing the album release on Flavor News.
Wow, that is a thought.
We'll do an international album release on Flavor News Radio.
That is definitely a thought, a really good thought, actually.
So something, you know, just put out there. But if nothing else, you need to let me, you know, when you're ready, we'll do a write-up and put it into the newsletter
Absolutely.
Definitely get it out, you know, to my readership. And, you know, we'll put it on the website to advertise, you know, your CD and all of that. So, you know, definitely Flavor News will be helping you, you know, get the word out about what it is that you're doing. So
that would be amazing. Thank you, Lady Flavor.
No problem. But I want to thank, you know, thank you for being very loyal to Flavor News Radio and joining the Artist Roundtable, you know, when you're able to and stuff like that, because that means a lot to me, John. You know, that you call in from Detroit and you show your support and you share, you know, your thoughts and your concerns and, you know, help process, you know, through the different concerns that the artists, you know, bring up or subjects that I bring up on the show, you know, that, you know, kind of get put in my ear. Like I talk about always having sidebar conversations with the artists from around the world. You know, what better place than to bring it to the Artist Roundtable and let everybody discuss it at one time if they're able to. So is there anything else that you think would be good to table on this particular show tonight?
No, just check out the sites that were mentioned tonight. You know, the Do Foundation, right there, you know, easy to find, Facebook, type in Do Foundation, you can get to it, you know.
Yes, and I believe it's actually Do Foundation, like D-O, foundation.net, is for Brian O'Neill's website where he is, you know, he's created an absolute amazing team. And the cause is amazing. Brian O'Neill, if you don't know, is a jazz artist out of Detroit, Michigan, who went and actually lived on the streets of Detroit. Do we say pretending? Well, maybe it's pretending or whatever.
Experiencing
mm-hmm. what it would like be like to be homeless in Detroit. And he filmed a documentary in doing this and wanting to bring awareness to the homeless population, not only in Detroit, but if you followed him when he was on tour just recently, he talked about the homeless staying outside of the hotels that he stayed in while he was on tour, or when he was, you know, traveling on the bus and stopping places. I believe that even one night he gave up his room in the hotel for a homeless woman. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he is somebody you should pay attention to, not only because of what he's doing for the homeless, but because he's an absolutely amazing man and he's an absolutely amazing jazz artist. You can find out more about Brian O'Neill at brianoneill.com. And, you know, and it will also point you in the direction of the Dew Foundation from his artist website. And he's all over the internet. So you can just Google his name. But John D. Green is another artist that you need to pay attention to out in the Detroit, Michigan area, doing some absolutely amazing, amazing things. And so, John, do you want to speak on the fact that you're going to be taking singing lessons?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Actually, I am. It's funny you should mention that. My lessons officially start Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm excited.
Do you know what to expect?
I know to not expect anything and be prepared for everything. My music, my voice coach, she's very, very, very talented. I had the privilege. I'm not quite sure if it was a privilege or not now that I know how good she is, but I had the privilege of hearing her work. And now she's my voice coach. It's Polly. And, I'm a little nervous.
Really?
But I think.
So have you taken singing lessons before?
No, not formally, no. I mean, I was in Glee Club, but
I saw you post that.
I was a Glee Club guy. Yeah. Glee Club and dance class, Miss Champion's dance class.
I didn't know they had Glee Club and dance class out there in Detroit. No.
It's not talked about because, you know, I guess nowadays it's not considered cool. But when I was young, it was cool, you know.
Okay.
You could sing and dance. You were cool. So, yeah, I mean, roller skates. I couldn't roller skate, so I had to figure out how to sing and dance. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did that. And now this starting Saturday, I'll be taking voice lessons from the great Polly. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous.
So what made you decide to take voice lessons?
Every artist needs to constantly improve his craft. There is no level that you can get to where you can assume that you have it all down and you are as good as you will get. There's no such thing as mastering anything. I mean, there's always another level or something to learn. So I'm striving. I there's a few things that I like to do that I'm not at that level yet, but I will be, I guarantee you. And when I am, you'll hear about it.
Well, it's interesting that you just said that, because, you know, I don't know if you saw the day that I had posted, you know, do you think that you have, you know, polished products or can it still, can you still, you know, do some work on what it is that you're creating? And an artist came back and said, always, you know, always wanting to, you know, do more work. And he's an absolutely amazing, I call him an origami hip-hop artist. He creates hip-hop dolls out of origami paper or, you know, folding paper. Absolutely amazing. I don't know how this art actually came about. I know that the Okizus, the hip-hop group, the Okizus that were formulated out of Okinawa, Japan, they had done it too. So I'm not sure where this came from, but it's so very clever. I really think that they need to make a Lady Flava, you know, origami doll.
That would be cool.
I think it would be so
cool. I like origami. I do like origami.
But I just, I, you know, sometimes I think that there are people who get a little bit too cocky and think that they have mastered their craft and have, you know, and I do think that there's always work to be done. I mean, just even in the fact that I'm Lady Flava, you know, I'm always learning something. You know, and the conversations that I have, you know, I was having this conversation today with Jace from Black Stacks, and I said, if nothing else, I'm able to I'm able to fake the funk really well when I go into meetings talking about artist stuff.
Right.
And he says the reason I'm able to do that is because I'm really good at listening and absorbing the information, because you'd be surprised in the years that I've been doing this, John, how people just willingly share info with me. And I don't know if it's something that they just are conscious of, or, you know, they do it with everybody or whatever, but I've learned from, you know, some absolutely amazing people around the world, you know, in regards to, you know, what it is that I'm doing and trying to perfect and to create to, you know, help better support you guys as underground independent artists. So,
You're doing a great job.
And I've got a lot, you know, I still got a lot to learn and grow from. So just hold on, John. You can go ahead and talk if you can. There's one of the kids at the door.
Okay.
Hey, how are you? Everything?
Oh, trick or treat? No.
Okay. So, I'm back.
While you were gone, I took the liberty of saying trick or treat. I guess no one has anything good to contribute. I like Almond Joys. It's my favorite. So.
My granddaughter dressed up as Tinkerbell. And it was, yeah, she's 2.5. You know, she didn't actually go out anywhere to trick or treat, but she came by my house dressed as Tinkerbell. She was adorable. Yeah. I want to welcome Mahogany Dust to the chat room. I need to do some research and get to know Mahogany Dust. Absolutely amazing artist. I heard Mahogany Dust for the first time on Paragon show the other night, and so Mahogany Dust, I do want to get to know you better and where I can find out more information about who you are and what it is that you are doing. Definitely, but. Okay. We didn't have as many callers tonight as we normally do, John. Maybe it's a little late and everybody's sleepy. I don't know. You know. Oh, we got a caller, another caller, so let me bring him in. Caller from the 206 area code. You're on the air with John D. Green out of Detroit and Lady Flava.
That would be Akua.
Akua, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Akua, you're on the air with John D. Green, who is an amazing artist out of Detroit, Michigan. And John, Akua is an artist from right here in Seattle, Washington, who is a hip-hop violinist. I mean, well, did I say that right? She's a hip-hop artist, and she is a violinist, and she is a spoken word artist, and just an all-around artist, period.
Hip-hop violinist.
Yes, I try to make sure I get in all those major categories with, you know, my music. I do hip-hop, R&B. It's a little bit of everything in, you know, one package. So I really try to bring it.
That is amazing. I like to hear your work.
That you will hear when I'm working on my CD. Yeah.
I definitely would like to hear that because, wow.
Oh,
I heard some guys a while back, two twins. They were on, I want to say it was America's Got Talent. They were hip-hop violinists. They were twins. And these guys play mean violin.
Yeah.
And I've wanted to hear something like that ever since. And I haven't.
You have to hear Akua. She's amazing. She used to play at the open mics at my coffee house, and I had, you know, I had never ever experienced anything like it. I mean, she actually plays her electric violin while she's doing hip hop. You know, so She's amazing.
Wow.
So I don't know if you've heard any. So we need to get a video of you, Akua, performing, because I think that people may not just really, yeah, you know, it is a concept in itself, and I think it's something that people need to be able to be a witness to and experience, not only right here in our own hometown, but I think we need to get some YouTube of you. Performing.
That's in the works. It's in the works. I'm trying to get that, you know, going. But meanwhile, I'm also trying to get up little shows, you know, things in the area, just to support, you know, the mission. So yes, but I'm working with an artist. Her name is Miss Melody Ivory, and she's a poet and also a professor at UW, but she's really an awesome person also, and so we're going to collaborate, and I'll be able to have a little bit more resource in terms of, you know, having access to it. One of the problems I have is getting access to things such as video cameras, you know, knowing how to upload a video to YouTube. Simple stuff that, you know, I always thought I would be able to do, but I find I'm not able to actually do them. So a lot of my time gets, you know, zapped, you know, just trying to get the resources. And then also when I can't get them, then the frustration of that, you know, is
right.
Like another situation.
Well, I think that when you come out and, because Akua is going to be performing at Dope Emporium, I think that when you're at Dope Emporium, you know, I'll make sure, you know, that you get introduced to some people, because there'll be people in, you know, there that may have, you know, the equipment and the skills that can help you, you know, with that part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I think that sometimes, you know, I get frustrated my own self when I can't figure out, especially when it comes to technical things, you know, how to do something. And so you'll be at an event that you'll be able to, you know, rub elbows with people that can help you, you know, in that area. So,
yeah.
And there'll be lots
That'll
of
be
people
great.
Taking video, you know.
Yeah.
Sure there'll be lots
yeah.
of people taking video. So you'll be able to get a video easily.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And there's a really, really great they call themselves GTV, and they do interviews and features and stuff like that. They have a radio show, but also they do this online, you know, TV thing, and they're going to be present there too. And so, you know, I'll make sure that you meet them. And, there's going to be all kinds of videographers. You know, the Emojo Fest Peace Center, people are going to be there with their cameras. They have amazing cameras and stuff. And so, yeah. Yeah, we'll get you introduced to some people and, you know, see if we can get some of those things taken care of for you that you don't have the equipment or the talents behind.
Huh?
That's awesome.
So,
yes,
yeah.
Well, I get to meet John. Are you going to be there also?
No,
he's
unfortunately, I will not. I'm in Detroit.
What's the hip-hop scene like there?
Crazy.
Really?
The hip hop scene in Detroit is crazy, and I'm sure the scene is amazing everywhere. But here, they definitely take it to the next level. The hip hop scene here is insane. There's real raw talent here, just amazing talent here.
Well, if
you
run into them, you should tell them. I think that you should tell them about Flavor News. We'll play them out here.
Yeah, well, you know, and some of it I'm sure you could play, but you know how you always post those little things about clean up your material?
Well,
they
yeah.
didn't get the memo. They didn't get the memo. But, no, some of them have.
Do you think I'm, now that you brought that up, John, so do you think I'm crazy for saying that?
No, I think you're professional for saying that. And any artist of any kind, hip-hop, folk music, spoken word, jazz, if you don't have versions ready for radio play, well, then you're not really ready, are you?
Right. Thank you so much for saying that.
It's a fact. It's a fact. Any real musician of any kind, any artist, I'll tell you, I have, you know, several versions of this song or that song because they want to be ready for anything. I mean, if you're true to it and you're really good, your craft is good, the music, lyrical content, then you have that version that's edited down to play on the radio because you never know when that opportunity will come. So why would you?
So why do you suppose that while they're recording and in the studio, why aren't they making two versions right then and there so that... When, like, somebody like Lady Flava or an actual, you know, other radio stations come and say to them, you know, we need it radio-friendly, that they already have it done. Then to, I mean, there's still people who want to be heard on, you know, on Flava News Radio that have not gone back into the studio and created that, you know, those tracks or fix the tracks and
two reasons that I can think of offhand. First one is their musical integrity. They don't want to alter their sound any. They feel so strongly about the sound that this is my sound, you're gonna take it or leave it the way it is, blah blah blah. Okay, that's one reason. The other reason is money. Some of these guys hustle up on just enough for the studio sometimes. They're that true to
right.
it. And have right. 1 hour for one take to do what you're going to do. They'll put their best work in. Now, if their work has been rehearsed around the song with the profanities in it and that works into part of the lyrical rhyme, if you will, then they're going to do it that way because that's what they rehearsed.
Right.
And they have that one shot to get it right. They got 1 hour, you know, $55
sure.
or whatever. And that those are two of the main reasons that just came to mind as you asked that question.
I mean, that does make sense. You know, the economic and time. You know,
I guess it's what I don't get. I mean, I understand it's that person's sound, and I get that part too. I guess I'm kind of with Lady Flava on the fact of cleaning up the music because you're packaging a genre, you know, it's like you're packaging that and it should be clean. I mean, I think as an artist, you want your stuff to be professional. I don't think we should accept somebody else's low standard, you know, delivery when, you know, you want young people to listen to the music because you want, you know, them to buy it. And you also, for me, it's like I want parents to like my music too.
Right.
You know, they're like, geez, that's good. I could play this for my kids, you know. It's right. like I always want that, but I guess it's kind of the music industry is dated, you know, to a degree where it's like anything is acceptable and which is unfortunate, you know.
The sad truth of it. People will play just about it. And there are fans for that. There are the fans that want to hear that. So, and as long as you have people that are willing to pay to hear what they want to hear, you'll have people willing to make that. And it's the question of integrity. But then again, like I said, people stand so strongly. I mean, musicians, we are some of the most stubborn of breeds. And I say we because I'm one of them. I am one of them. I'm pretty stubborn. I mean, I'll make changes because sometimes changes are necessary. Oh, yeah, and I'll take advice because constructive criticism is good, especially from people I consider my peers. You know who I'm talking about, Lady Flavor.
Yeah.
But I'll take what I have to take and do what I have to do to make it right. But we believe in what we do so strongly that sometimes we're blinded by that belief. So we think, you know, this is what's happening, this is what it is, but... You know, if you're a professional, you can make it what it needs to be. That's my point. You can make it. If you made this, if you are the creator, then you make it the way it needs to be. And it needs to be radio friendly.
Right.
Now, if you're true to your craft and you're as good as you believe you are, then that shouldn't be a problem. It's just part of the process. You figure out how and you make it work. I don't use any profanity in any of my music, and my catalog is extensive. I have no profanity at all. It's just my thing. I don't really feel like I need it. But that, like I said, it's just me. Maybe my point that I'm trying to get across isn't so strong. Then maybe I should throw a few curse words in there, you know? No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. I have an 8-year-old son. So, you know, I have an 8-year-old son that knows how to use my equipment better than I do. So it wouldn't be any profanity in my music. But that's just me. I feel like my command of the English language is strong enough where I don't need profanity. But, hey, to each his own.
I like what you said about the integrity part, though. You know, that's really a key factor in any individual person. You know, character defines them as a character, defining characteristic of an individual.
Right.
But even as an artist, you know, it's something to embrace, you know, as well.
Do you have song that you love? I mean, you love it, but you know there's something in there that you need to change from time to time. Do you have that song? And if you do, what's the name of it?
The name of my one, well, actually, in this particular song, is Prophet is Prayer, but I'm not the one who made, well, there is one word in there, is a profanity word, but it wasn't my own voice. It was the producer. He said it. So, but every time I've listened to it, I always kind of, clench my fist a little bit, or like, you know, it's like, oh, man, I kind of wish to do it. And in a way, I guess, you know, he said it to put the emphasis on that, this is the jam, you know, this, I got to hear this. But sometimes I tend to, because the thing with it, too, is that if you hear it, sometimes you just be in the moment, like, you know, you. For me, I guess I'm like a jock, you know, the inner part of me, like my character, I'm like this athletic person, but when you see me, people probably don't see that part of me, but when I feel like I've overcome something or I've done something great, it's like the champion in me comes out. So when he says this word in the song, I'm like, yeah. You know, that wasn't what I was saying. I was like, wait a minute. And every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, I kind of wish. So that's one of the reasons why I started using my violin with the song, because I didn't want to get stuck there. You know, that's one of the problems I've always had kind of with hip-hop, is like the profanity. It's hard for me to collaborate with artists profanity, because I don't feel like we have an affinity with each other anyway. You know, I feel like, it's just like being caught in a argument, you know, like, okay, yeah, you know, so, and some artists do, and they're comfortable with that, and that's cool. For me, I guess it's a thing of being aggressive about, and sometimes you do have to be aggressive too, you know, a certain degree about what you want to do, and, you know, there's not really a room for middle ground, but I still feel like, for me, that's my song. Even though it has that word, I'm not trying to solve it at this point. It's the song is done.
Right.
But, you know, it's
that's
still
the
my
one
song.
That stands out to you?
It does. There's lots of songs where I have parts. This is things that I say that aren't even, you know, profanity. It's not perfect. I'm a perfectionist. So, you know, that's all. You know.
That's funny
you know.
For me that you say that. I have a song. It's called Drop One. This song was made for a rapper, and he's a good rapper. But I didn't know the brother was deathly afraid of dogs, right? So I put this bark in this song, this vicious, full mastiff bark. And the barking is me. If you go to my site, you can hear the song. And it's me barking. But, I mean, the bark is vicious. And when the guy got to the mic and heard the song, he was loving it. Then the barking started. He closed up, and he didn't speak for the rest of the time. They had to escort him out.
What?
He completely froze up on me. He couldn't talk anymore, nothing. He just kept looking around at the ground. I didn't know what he was doing. I just sat there trying to be patient. We're in the studio, and I'm thinking, okay, play it back. So I must have said that 30 times, and then I realized what was going on when he was shaking. It was the dog. And then my buddy that helped me with the editing of Lost in Darkness, he was like, man, I love that song, Drop One, but could you pull the dog out to just the end, John, because the dog's kind of scary. So
that's what I heard.
You know, so I compromised and I pulled the dog voice out one time for one person. So I have altered my sound for people. I altered my sound for my buddy that used to help me edit my video. And the barking is only at the end now. He's like, I can handle that. But it's kind of scary in the beginning. You know, the dog scares me a little bit. I said, okay, Larry, no problem. I'll pull it out for you next because you like the song so much. But, yeah, I mean, it happens, you know. You got to be ready to make the changes as they come. So that's my funny
dog story.
You
know, one thing that comes to mind as you guys are talking with each other, and I'm loving the conversation, you know, here it is, I'm 50 years old, right? Man, the music I came up on, there was no cussing.
Right.
You know, I mean, where there were some tracks, maybe, you know, that were like nothing compared to what's produced now that maybe was considered grown folk music, you know, but it wasn't like, you know, my godmom had really, really worried if we passed the room where she was playing her stereo,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. And now it's like so very different, you know, what's being created. And it makes me wonder if people are really, really using their creativity. I guess we should more so talk about like the hip-hop community and rap community that, are they really using their creativity, or are they just falling in line with what they think is what people are wanting to hear due to some that are out there in the forefront selling that type of music, you know, and so they become copycats of that.
That's
because they
think.
See that particular artist, you know, actually selling.
That's what I think, 100%. I mean, I hate to be that way, but it is what it is. I mean, back in your day, my day, people could sing. They could do what they did, and they didn't need anything. The words were really simple, you think about it. You know, the music was simple. The words were simple, but they were great. It was brilliant because people said what they meant, and they knew how to deliver it. People could actually sing. They could lay it down, and you could receive
mm-hmm.
it. Now, it's all this filler. I call it filler. You know, you
right.
need these words or whatever to put emphasis. Can't your words put emphasis? I mean, the way that you say things is one thing. I could get my point across. I believe very clearly. I don't have to curse at you. Believe me, you'll understand what I'm saying if I need you
right.
to understand what I'm saying. And I don't have to curse at you to do it. But these people use filler because it's, for some reason, people have grasped the concept that it sounds cool. It sounds cool.
Right.
So it's spewing profanity.
I'm excited about Dope Emporium because it is an all-age event, and it is, you know, it is a hip-hop, you know, event where a variety of MCs, a variety of styles, and all are coming together. I'm really interested
mm-hmm.
to see how they are going to, like, switch up, you know, It's going to be amazing because, you know what, John, I was so excited to be in the studios with them, two weekends ago, you know, watching them create the promo audio piece and the video that's being done for Dope Emporium. I was so excited to be there and witness, like, 9 hip-hop artists, you know, come together and create it. You know, it was just absolutely amazing, and there wasn't any cussing, you know,
right.
in what it is that they created just for the promo. So I'm really, really excited and looking forward to the Dope Emporium. But, Akua, I don't know if this is something that I can really honestly ask of you. I am not able to open up the files that you sent me, the MP3 files, and I'm not able to open it up. But I don't know if you are able to, like, do something live for us on the show right now.
Ooh, oh, my gosh. I can. I'm outside. I can do it. If I just got to put the phone or ask somebody to hold the phone. Yeah, I can, actually.
Oh.
Let me see if I can.
I wish I could run over there and hold the phone for you right now. I wish I could, boy.
Hold on. I see somebody out here. I don't know if you would mind. Let me ask. Hold on. A couple people I see out here. All right. A mission. Let me see.
Now, this is exciting.
Okay. Hey, do you have a second? I'm on the radio, and they want to hear me play something on my violin. Would you mind holding the phone?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
I really put her on the spot, didn't I?
Yeah, but that was awesome. This is what's happening right here.
I'm going to put on speakerphone. Lady Flava?
Yes, we can hear you, Akua.
Okay, cool. Give me one second. This gentleman was nice enough, kind enough to do this for me. What's your name?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Holding the phone for Akua.
Good.
So what do you think, John?
Well, you know what? I was just thinking, you can't see me, but my head is off to you.
Okay.
I had been trying to picture what it would sound like since I heard what you did. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You do need collaboration, Jenna.
And then just recently, John, Akua performed at with Black Stack.
Wow.
And she played with Black Stack at a fashion show here in Seattle.
Right.
So
that was amazing.
Yeah, just,
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
My board screen has now disappeared, but we're still streaming live, so I just can't see anything on the board anymore, but Blog Talk sent me a message saying that they're working on that problem, but luckily there's only 5 minutes left in the show, so I want to thank you so much, John, for coming and hanging out with me tonight.
Wow.
And, I don't know, Akua, if you can hear me, you know, you are absolutely amazing. And so
amazing.
I thank you so much. I'm so proud. I feel like this proud mama right now, John.
You deserve to feel that way.
I don't know how many years ago, maybe 3 years ago, Akua walked in my coffee shop, and she's from New York. And she had a friend with her who's an amazing storyteller, and they got on the stage and performed, and like everybody was like, "What?" You know, she got up there and plugged in her violin, and it was like, "What?"
That was amazing. That was beautiful too. Nice voice, notes clean and crisp, solid. Wow. And her timing, everything was paced and syncopated. It was very tight timing. You know, I'm big on the timing. I enjoyed that. Wow. Now my mind's running away with me now with thoughts, you know. That was wow. That was really, and she did it live, you know, just right there.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when I asked her if she would perform, I just thought maybe she would like spit a piece. I didn't realize she had her violin with her.
Yeah, they're always close by. I'm 6 feet away from Maxine right now. I'm looking at her. She's never far from the tools of our trade. We keep them very, very close. That's one thing you'll notice. They're never far.
So are you saying, John, that I could ask you to do a piece live and play the piano and everything? Or the keyboard?
Yeah, I would do that easily.
Really?
I could do that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll call in on your next show if you want. And,
I think we might have to do that.
Okay. If you can get there, it's something I'm working on.
Oh, boy. Lucky girl. So I have a question for you, John. You know, I originally I had started the first show out at, 11 o'clock in the morning, my time.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided, in talking to some people who weren't able to come to that particular show, do a show not the opposite week because of the amazing requests, you know, at a later time. Do you think the times that I – so right now I'm doing – today I had to schedule it later because I was coming into work. But do you think the times that I'm doing it is a good time? Or do you think that?
Yeah.
Right now I'm doing it 12:30. Like next week would be 12:30 Pacific Standard Time, so that would make it 2:30 your time, and then like tonight was generally 5:30 Pacific Standard Time, which would make it 7:30 your time. So do you think that's a good time, or do you think
I should try for
a different time?
For me, personally, it's a great time, but, you might want to
ask
the majority.
Nobody has complained. I just had gotten a message from Chameleon. you know, in Switzerland. And he's like, Lady Flava, I'm so sorry I haven't been able to make it to the shows, you know, because of the time difference and stuff. And so, you know, I did say to him, well, Chameleon, what time would that look like that you would be able to come just to see if it's something close to the timing that I'm doing it? Because I really enjoyed having him on the first show.
What a positive force that brother is. I mean, he actually stays in touch.
Good.
Sure does. And I mean, I've you know, of course, me, I'm work hawk.
What I love about him, which I love about you too, is you know, you both have your own individual styles, and I think you stay true to yourselves. I don't think you try to copy anybody else, you know, and I don't feel that you guys, you know, succumb to the pressures of trying to be a part of what people are trying to say is popular out there, and that's what I appreciate about you and Chameleon, you know. So, yeah, but I would love to be able to have him, you know, come and join us again. So I'm hoping he'll send me a message back just to kind of give me an idea of what the time, you know, looks like, you know, for him in Switzerland, where he could come back to another artist roundtable and share this time with us. Because I know that he, too, is working on an album, you know, that should be releasing soon, too. So anyway. But the show has now finally come to an end, and I want to thank you again, John, so much for coming out and hanging out with me and making this show worthwhile for me, because you know what, even if it's just the two of us talking, you know, you know, you have so much to share, you know, and I think it's valuable information that's shared, you know, because I'll be honest with you, John, the Artist Roundtable, out of all the shows that I do, gets the most listenership. And honestly gets the most that come back and listen to the archives. So I think that, you know, we're doing something right, you know, and I don't say this is me by myself, because you're a regular participant just like TC and, you know, and, you know, Josh from Lynx Records and stuff is a normal regular participant. So you guys make this, you know. I just try to throw out, you know, topics if I need to. But I'm just creating the forum, you know, for you guys to come together and, you know, process, you know, how we could do some things differently. And I think it's a good thing. You know, I tell people all the time, this has turned out to be one of my favorite shows, you know, because, you know, me, I like to throw out and process things on Facebook and online. That what better place to come and put a voice to it, you know, on the air. So I would love to play my promo again before I close out, but I can't because I have no board. But anyway, why don't you tell people where they can find you at, John, before we close out the show?
Oh, www.johndgreensenior.com. I'll be waiting for you.
All right. You need to check him out. Akua, yay, you're back. Okay.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
Your work was amazing.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Lady Flava. I don't do it for compliments. I do this because I really love music and I want to just, you know, share with everybody. And I want people to be blessed, you know, in whatever I can do.
Music loves you right back. Because that was phenomenal. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
That man on the street didn't know what he was getting himself into, huh?
No, he didn't know. He said it was amazing, and
you got a new fan, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I was telling John when I asked you to spit a piece, I didn't realize you actually had your violin. I'm like, oh my God, you're in for a treat.
Thanks, Akua. Now she asked me, will I do something live next time? See that? See what you started?
See what you did?
Yeah.
I'm a troublemaker.
You started something. Now I'm just going to start asking everybody to do something live.
You know what? You'll be surprised what you'll hear.
Yeah. Okay. That might have to become a part of the little routine of Artist Roundtable. You know, if it's an author, a poet, you know, read a little excerpt from your book or spit a poem or spoken word piece live or something. So Anyway, well, our time is up. So, again, I want to thank both of you for hanging out with me and calling into the Artist Roundtable today. Next Monday, it's going to be at 12:30 Pacific Standard Time. So, you know, you just add 2 to 3 hours onto it, depending on what time zone you are at. We do have a dear friend, John and I, in Switzerland, named Chameleon, that's wanting to come back on the air with us. So, you know, once he lets me know, I might schedule a different time zone just to get Chameleon back on, because he's got a lot to share. And he's been staying in contact with a lot of artists that he's connected to on the Artist Roundtable. So that's really exciting to me to know that you guys are networking and staying in touch with each other once you meet on this show. So God bless all of you. And to everybody that came out to listen to the show live, to those that were in the chat room, and to those that come back and listen to the archives, you know, spread the word. You know, as we help spread the word for you here on Flava News and Flava News Radio, help spread the word for what we're doing too. And if you hear an artist, you know, on the show, word of mouth is the most powerful tool, and the best way and the best blessing that you can give an artist is by telling other people about what you heard and what you appreciate about what they're doing. So until we meet again, take care and check out flavanews.com. Good night.
Good night.